time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson here with you. This time around, we got a very special guest who actually has been on the show before, Matt Shore, with his comic Moby Dick, Back from the Deep. Now, Matt, as you know, we talked about his Kickstarter. He got issue one published on Kickstarter and was very successful with that. One of the things that we talked about was that you're bringing back, Matt, the tale of Moby Dick, but only modernizing it. Before we go into all that detail, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's I always like to have a good independent comic book artist slash writer slash just independent creators. I guess that's all I need to say. I like to have independent creators on here, and you're definitely one of them. Now, this whole thing started out as a webcomic, correct?
Yes. Started out just as a humble webcomic that got a pretty decent response. So then just sort of grew from there into what is now, I guess you'd call a standard published comic.
Nice. Yeah. And it's a very nice, well done book. It's black and white. So it's kind of reminiscent of the old, eerie and creepy comics from back in the day, the Warren comics. And the artwork is just phenomenal. It's amazing what you can do with black and white. And it's just a beautiful comic. And then on top of that, the storyline. Now, at first, when you first approached me, it's been about a year or so ago, and told me the premise behind this, I'm like, that's kind of strange. And then you get to reading it and I'm like, oh my god, that's awesome. Especially when I saw the artwork of the eyeball underneath the ocean. In fact, what did you ever see the movie The Meg?
I have not. It's on my list though.
Okay. Yeah. There's a scene where the Meg comes up from the deep and it swallows this boat, and it has that it's a very iconic look where the mouth of the Meg is opening up and it's coming from the deep. And I'm like, Matt did that before already. I've seen that. So, but you did it with the eye of Moby Dick. Once again, let's kind of refresh the listeners what the comic book is about. I mean, it's already been spoiled with issue number one, so let's go ahead and tell them what it's all about.
Okay, the premise here is that Moby Dick is back, so to speak, back from the deep, as the title says, mm-hmm. back in really decomposed, necrotized form, so he's really zombified. Uh-huh. And the idea is just that Moby Dick has just been out there for all time. And in this first issue, we saw what he can do, where he really caused some major chaos and carnage on the shores of White Sands Beach. And with issue two, we're going to start diving into exactly what he is, why he's out there, spoiler alert, why issue one ended with a guy who said, "Call me Ishmael."
Yeah. I loved it. And you teased the cover of issue number two. With Ahab, zombie Ahab?
Yes, correct. You cannot have a Moby Dick story without Ahab.
Oh, no. So he's still chasing the white whale. That's always good. And even through the undead, like I said, when I first heard this zombie Moby Dick, I'm like, what? And then I got to read him, like, oh my god, this is great. So, now with issue number two, you have a very famous podcaster featured on the first page. That would be me.
Right.
Because I funded your Kickstarter, or was one of the many, I should say, that funded your Kickstarter. I can't take complete blame or credit, but in the opening issue, it looks like a news conference that's like the day after the events of issue number one. From there on, kind of give us a good description of what's going to happen in issue number two.
Issue number two, we're going to learn more about Ishmael. Catherine is going to connect with him during that conference. I think we see her and him in some of those panels. But right now they're just sort of observing, seeing what's going on, staying in the background. But as the story unfolds, she's going to step aside to connect with him. And he's going to be the one who reveals much of what's happening, that there's more to this than just some random sea monster out there causing problems. There's a deeper evil at play here with the story.
Nice. I can see this. Just out of curiosity, how many issues are you planning? Are you even planning to stop? Do you see an end to this?
Yes, a very definite plan for 5 issues total.
Okay. So, and now another thing here, one of the reasons we got you on here is you're getting ready to do a Kickstarter for issue number two. But I got to ask you though, I mean, last time around after the Kickstarter was successful and you got issue number one out, Behemoth Comics picked you up. And first of all, congratulations on that. They're going to be distributing your comic. Ask my question, how does that work out? What happens there with the Behemoth Comics taking the reins, if you will?
It's an adjustment, I'll say that, because the first time around, I was the ultimate do-it-yourselfer. Like, you know, I created that website. I recruited Joe Bilicic to do the artwork. I wrote the script. I handled everything. So handing off the reins, it was an adjustment, and I think I'm still getting used to it.
Oh, really? So now, basically, does that leave you more time for creative?
It does, essentially. And also, since I have a two-year-old in the house now and another one on the way, some of that time is getting more and more eaten up by them.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, I guess it's a good thing that they're taking now. So what are they going to be doing for you? I guess they're a publishing company,
correct.
And of comic books. And what are they going to be doing? You're just going to submit the work and they're going to take care of it from there. Is that basically it?
I'll still be doing a coordination with the artist, with Joe, to get the artwork turned in and everything. But the big things that they'll be handling that will be nice, they'll be handling the actual production side of things. You know, publishing, printing, as well as dissemination. And the nice thing there is they just have a much wider reach than I was ever going to have on my own. Uh-huh. So there's, you know, people, if you have any listeners that live in California, they should be able to go to one of their local comic book shops and ask for it, and they should be able to get a copy for them.
Well, I'll tell you, I walked in, we have a comic book store that I'm a regular there, you know, that's where my pull list is. It's in Vincennes, Indiana. It's a Geek Boom Comics. And I went in there and I said, "Hey, do you guys carry anything from Behemoth Comics?" And she goes, "No." I said, "Look into a title called Moby Dick, Back from the Deep." I said, "You guys ought to carry that." I said, I would buy every issue if you guys carry those." And so immediately when I stand in there, she looked online and said, "Well, I'm going to look into it. I'll see if I can get these guys out here." I was like, "Okay." So there's one thing you can do too. Go to your local comic book store. Tell them to carry not just Behemoth Comics, or not just Back from the Deep, but Behemoth Comics and all their titles. So that way it helps get Matt some more publicity out there. So then maybe you can...
Absolutely.
And then you can maybe tackle another ancient novel and turn it into a zombie. I don't know. That'd be hard to do. But, well, let me... okay, so that leads me... So Behemoth Comics, they took... they said, "Hey, yeah, we like your work. We'll publish this for you. But you're launching a Kickstarter for issue number 2. Why is that going on?"
All right, well, the simple truth of the matter is, even though issue 1 was, you know, fully funded to get printed and published and disseminated, still need funding for issue 2. And Behemoth is not, you know, they're not DC Comics, they're not Marvel. So like so many other small publishers, they also have to launch Kickstarters just like I did. Uh-huh. to try to get the publishing costs and the production costs funded.
Okay, so basically... It's like you said, yeah, no, that's the best way to put it. They're not DC, they're not Marvel. They still have to come up with the money as well. And you know what? Crowdsourcing is the best way out there. I mean, not only is it a great way to get it out to the masses, but also gets to like-minded people. You know, people that are going to enjoy it are going to buy it, rather than it's stuck on the shelves forever for some, you know, until somebody actually sees what they want. But yeah, that's a really good idea, actually. So they're the ones actually going to be launching the Kickstarter. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. So, and we're looking at now, again, this interview was delayed because we thought you were going to do it on the 28th, or they were going to do it on the 28th, but a hitch came up, or, you know, a stall in time. Now we're looking at the Monday, February 4th. Is that the time that they're expecting to launch?
Yes, that's correct.
And again, so Kickstarter. Look for Moby Dick Back from the Deep, same way?
Correct, yep.
All right, so I'm going to be definitely looking for that because I got to get it out there. First of all, I have to have a copy with my face in it. So, I mean,
absolutely,
Yeah, a little narcissism on that one, but I'll take it. Plus, like I said, it's just a very nice story. So tell us a little bit, like you said, 5 issues. What do you plan to do with this without giving away spoilers? Nobody likes spoilers, but a general idea of what you're going to be doing with this.
My general plan, you know, with first issue 1, the way that I looked at that was sort of like a sci-fi channel shark movie. I feel like it hits all the classic beats, you know, you got your beaches, you got, you know, the danger, that sort of thing. It's very standard. I tried to, at the same time, create some interesting characters there. With issue 2, and really from here on out, I've been telling people we're going to take a really hard left turn where we're going to move into some supernatural elements, and there's going to be talks about, you know, nothing really overt, but talks about, you know, gods and fate and destiny and how it shapes our lives and what it means for us And just a little bit of little bit of metaphorical stuff, trying to get into the same stuff that Herman Melville did.
Yeah.
Readers can judge for themselves how well I stack up with him.
Wow, that's a lot to undertake there. Are you gonna have? I gotta ask this now. Are you gonna? It's been a while since I read this. So I can't remember the character's name. The one with the tattoos. The native guy. What was his name in Moby Dick? I can't remember. Yeah,
Queequeg. Queequeg.
Yeah, Queequeg. You gonna have him in there?
He'll be in there.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, he stood out when I read the book. I mean, it's been a couple of years now since I've read that book, and yes, I actually read the whole thing, and I think I'd rather have the comic version.
That is impressive. That is not an easy read.
No, it took me a lot of years. Well, it took me a lot of months anyway. But yeah, all right, so you're gonna have Queequeg. So in this supernatural realm of Moby Dick, how it's going to come to an end eventually. Like you said, five issues. How are you going to sum all that up in five issues?
Well, actually, it's interesting. My initial plan was four issues.
As I
got into that fourth issue, I just decided, you know, there's more here. I need another issue. So that's where the fifth one came in.
Okay. So it's possible you get done with issue five. I'm not done yet.
It's possible that there could be a follow-up, I guess you could say. But as far as the script goes, I've written the script for all five issues. It's very definitely – this story is concluded as far as the script go. But, you know, like all classic comic books and all classic horror stories, there's always a chance you could find some way to bring them all back, right?
That's what horror is about, sequels.
Right. <yeah. laughs> If there's one thing Hollywood doesn't like, it's closure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now, what do you see yourself doing after this? I mean, you can't be, you know, Moby Dick and done. I mean, you got to have something else in the works. Do you have anything else planned? Any ideas?
I do have something in the works, or it's actually going on right now since I did have a little bit of extra time. I have a online novel that I've started doing targeting young readers.
Uh-huh.
It's called That Time I Saved the Universe.
Nice.
It's a story about a kid, I don't know, he's about 10 years old, who gets dragged very much against his will into a battle against a cosmic being that wants to wipe out all of reality.
Oh, wow. So a kid against Thanos, then.
It's along those lines, yeah.
Nice. Okay. Now, so you're working on that as a novel form, is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's online. If anybody wants to go read it right now, I believe I've got five chapters out at this point. They can look it up at isavedtheuniverse.blogspot.com.
You got me intrigued. I like young adult novels, too, anyway. A lot of times they get some of the best literature. It's like, it's not fair. I'm too old for this stuff.
Yeah, I'm just not mature enough to write an adult novel.
Fair enough. I didn't want to say that I wasn't mature enough to read it, but, you know, there we go. But, yeah, definitely that sounds intriguing, too. So, now, once again, we're talking about Moby Dick, Back from the Deep, issue number 2. Again, the Kickstarter should be online functioning February 4th, so get ready to pledge your dollars. Let me tell you, it's worth it. The artwork in this thing is beautiful, and I saw the tease for the cover of issue 2. Is that still going to be the issue number 2 cover, the Ahab?
Yes, that is the plan.
Okay, because that's such a cool view of Ahab. I mean, it's when I saw that, I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be great. But issue number 1 alone, the cover for that one got me, too. So, yeah, you got your covers. That's for sure. When they say don't judge a book by its cover, they're lying, because right here tells you how awesome the story it is. Now, how many pages are these comics?
Each one, I think, is 22 pages.
Okay. All right. Good average size. I kind of let down now because the story will end. I think I'm like Hollywood. I hate endings. And I can't wait to read the whole thing, because that's going to be definitely worthwhile. Now, on this Kickstarter, I don't know how much you know about the reward level, since, again, Behemoth is the one launching it. I'm sure you're coordinating with them 100%. But are there going to be any levels for – I've seen this before, where comic book stores can actually go into it?
They're still developing, I think, and I have not seen all of their levels.
Okay.
One thing that I know for sure is anybody who wants to back it, if they haven't – they don't already have a copy of issue 1, they're going to have levels where you can, you know, get a copy of issue 1 and issue 2 mm-hmm. bundled together.
Okay. I've seen it before where on some before where they, you know, like a comic book store can – bid on it, and they're like, Like usually around the $100-$200 level, where they get several issues to put in their store, plus you know all the other Kickstarter fun stuff. So yeah, okay. Well, I will be letting my local comic book store know, that's for sure, that it's online. And once again, February 4th. What else can you tell us about the Moby Dick? Well, actually, I got one specific question. What made you want to tackle this story?
There's this kind of an interesting story about where it came from. I was actually at the San Diego Comic-Con, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
I was hanging out there with another comic book artist friend of mine, and I just told him, I asked him, like, do you think there'd be a market for a story about Moby Dick in modern times just as a zombie? And I think his exact words to me, he said to me, oh, I would read the shit out of that.
Yeah. I mean, right then he's like, what? Yeah.
And as far as where that idea came from, I really can't say where the idea of a zombie came into my head. That sort of, I think, sprouted from the idea of Ahab hunting this whale for all time, even in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw one of those really stupid YouTube mashup videos where someone captured footage of that that Patrick Stewart version of Moby Dick. I don't know if you're aware of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They used footage of that and then just various other film footage. I think they used footage from Millennium where the whole thing ended with Ahab getting an aircraft carrier to drop a nuke on Moby Dick, and that's how he really walked. It looks terrible. It's poorly done. It's classic, you know, YouTube awfulness, but it just, I don't know, it planted a seed, and from there, here we are today.
So basically, if you were in the South, you'd be looking at that and say, hold my beer.
Yeah.
I can do better.
That's so pretty accurate, yeah.
Okay. I like the way that, you know, it's funny, you know, It comes from all, influences come from all directions, and you never know when something's going to hit you hard enough to make you stick with it, like you've done with this, and actually create a comic book, and working on issue number 2, and get picked up by a publishing company. I mean, the idea was there, and you ran with it, and it looks like it's going to be successful for you. I don't know if it's going to be, make you millions of dollars, but it's definitely putting you up there in the market.
I wouldn't complain, but I'm not looking for that.
Right. I mean, we always hope for it, but you know, in this issue number 1, I've only got that to go on because I've read that. Actually, I read it a couple times because I wanted to go back and see if I missed anything. But one thing I noticed immediately was the whole beach scene where it reminded me a lot of Jaws. You know, where they, you know, clear the beach. Oh, we can't. Tourists are coming, type thing. Were you influenced at all by Jaws on this, or is it just coincidental, or how was that?
No, Jaws was always on my mind because I was constantly looking for ways to – I was trying to figure out some way that was different.
Mm-hmm.
But just the more I thought about it, I just thought, you know, if this happened, you know, the town would deal with it, and they're – but there would be pushback from people,
right?
You know, saying, hey, this is going to hurt business. This is going to be a problem. So that's part of why I delved into that with this first issue, and why I was pretty – I guess I was kind of eager with issue 2 and moving forward from there just to really get into just some supernatural, just different stuff to really differentiate it from that as much as I could. Because right. I was very conscious of that the whole time, but I just thought, you know, this – The thing that Jaws got right is kind of universal. Yeah, if there was some monster that showed up in a town, the first people that are going to speak up are business owners saying, hey, this is going to hurt business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, if you look at it, like, I mean, the history of science fiction period, some of the best science fiction out there, they discussed religion and politics. And you got into the politics side of it on that one. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that right there, is, science fiction is not just about things happening with a futuristic feel. Or, in this case, horror sci-fi, whatever you want to call it. I always considered zombie sci-fi. But anyway, when you bring in the politics and you see how real people react, it makes a more real story. You know, it's like, oh, hey, this could happen.
I agree, yeah.
So I think that was a very smart move incorporating that and not just, you know, not just creating a hack and slash thing. Because those are the movies we make fun of.
Right. So, there's a place for those, and it's on Mystery Science Theater.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. With Hollywood and look more of the sci-fi channel, I would not be surprised if someone eventually picked this up and looked at it and said, hey, this would make a great movie. Would you be opposed to that?
Not at all. They're welcome to call me anytime.
I guess that would be helpful. But I don't know. Some artists say no, or writers, artists, they all think, no, I want to keep my material like it is. But I this would be a fun movie. It's good, scary. Okay. All right. I'm gonna call my Hollywood friends. So we'll see what happens.
That sounds great. Have their people call my people.
There you go. We'll get on that. All right. Well, one other thing again, back to issue number one that I totally appreciated. That's the only one I've got to refer to. That is the whole feel of the black and white comic. Like I said, referring back to the old Warren comics back in the 70s. What made you want to go that route instead of like a full color comic book?
Well, I'd love to give you some really great artistic rationale, but first and foremost, it was cheaper. And the first issue, since I was pretty much funding it all out of pocket, I had to find different ways to make that happen. But also, figured into it. I don't want to make light. When it comes to horror, and I think The Walking Dead really proved this, I just feel like black and white is so much more effective.
Yeah.
It just makes the images, they're just starker. They're just grimmer. I don't know. When it comes to horror, I don't think you want bright and colorful. I think you want just kind of dark and gray and moody. So black and white is really the perfect format for that, I think.
Plus, it also leaves a lot to the imagination that way. If you were to color everything in, then it's like, oh, it's all the answers are there for me. But not the way you have it, some shading areas in the comic, it's like, oh, what is that? What is? And then, like, again, I always go back to the picture of the eye that you have in that comic. That is just an amazing panel that with that eye of Moby Dick coming up to the, and it's a beautiful scene. And I couldn't see that in color. It just wouldn't do the same for me. But it's. The color, it would have been, it would have thrown off the whole feel of the comic book, I think, too. So, but yeah, and kudos for you for going with it. A lot of people, they'd like insist on it colored and like, no, you'd ruin it. But again, cheaper sometimes works out better for us.
That's true. Sometimes your bank account makes a few decisions for you.
Yeah, we always like those. So now you published this as a web comic originally. Are you going to continue with it as a web comic, or are you just going to, is it just now going to be published from here on?
From here on, it's going to be a standard published comic.
Okay. Is that because Behemoth took it and they're running with it too?
Yeah. Okay. That's where that decision came from.
Yeah. It makes sense. Plus, hey, it got you out there and that's all you need. So,
right.
But you do have a novel online. That's always fun. It sounds like you got a lot of things that you're still doing, even though you're working to get 5 issues of this out. So you got the scripts written for it. So how long do you think a process is going to be that we see till we reach issue number 5?
Their plan, as I understand it, is to go monthly.
Nice.
Now, whether that means, we're going to do one Kickstarter and then like once it's over, do another Kickstarter, since each Kickstarter is, a duration of 30 days. I'm not totally clear on. But essentially, I'm thinking they're looking for a schedule of either monthly or bi-monthly.
Nice. Okay. Oh, good. I like it when it's on a regular schedule. So things work out a lot better that way. Okay. So hopefully, February 4th, that's a good time to start, right at the beginning of February. And then maybe sometime in March, start the next one. And I'll be ready to look forward. And I'll probably be funding every single issue only because you had me hooked at issue 1. And then issue number 2, I got drawn into it. So...
Cool.
That's always a nice incentive, by the way, on Kickstarter. If people can, if comic book artists and writers that can incorporate, people Kickstarter, into the comics like that. I've gone through a few of them like that, I think it's just fun. So, what kind of do you think they'll do that on Behemoth? Will do that on this one?
I don't know what their plan is. Like I said, I haven't seen all the tiers that they have in mind for this one.
I guess we got to wait till the 4th.
It's just part of the adjustment for me, not handling everything.
Now, if anybody wants to read issue number 1, do you still have that online?
Yes, actually, they'd have to go to Comic Fury and look it up. I take that back. The domain that I registered for, that should still be active. It's backfromthedeep.com. Still take them there.
Okay. Okay. Because it's definitely, if you're wondering if you should actually get into this Kickstarter and say issue number 2, I don't know if I should jump now. Go back and read that, backfromthedeep.com, if it, and read that and check it out, because trust me, you'll be hooked. I was. So yeah, that'd be nice if you can keep that up for a little while anyway. And also, I believe last time I saw backfromthedeep.com, it's been a while, but didn't you have the cover drawing on there?
Yes, okay. I had the cover for issue 2 and the first page of issue 2. I went ahead and put that up because I wanted to. I didn't want the people who paid to see themselves on paper have to wait however long it was going
to
take.
Right, right. So, yeah, you get to see this nice picture of Ahab as a zombie. It's a beautiful drawing. It really is. And it's in color, too. So, but again, don't color in the rest of it. You know what? Maybe you can make a coloring book. I don't know. So,
isn't that blasphemous?
Probably. We all can't have everything, though. I don't know. I'm just always trying to think of ways to make more money. You know, that's my. What else can I do?
You know, my wife one time when we were at a comic book shop, and she told me afterwards she did this on purpose. We were looking through some issues, and there were these two other like just hardcore collectors nearby, and she picked up one of those black and white ones and looked over at me and almost jumped up and down. Look, honey, you can color this one.
Oh, I can imagine the fate looks on their faces.
Oh, they glared daggers at both her and me.
That's funny. I was like, oh, hey, look, Vampirella, you can color.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, all right. So once again, Matt Shore, author of Moby Dick, Back from the Deep. Now, who's the artist on the book?
Joe Bilicic.
These two have gotten together and created a phenomenon with Moby Dick coming back from the deep as a zombie or whatever the supernatural story may lead us into. Please go out and fund it on Kickstarter. It's going to be launched Monday the 4th is tentative. I mean, we're looking at that's probably going to be the date. If it's not, just keep coming back to nerduppodcast.com, and I will post updates. In fact, as soon as the Kickstarter is launched, I'll put a little widget in the corner so that people can just click on there and go straight to the Kickstarter. But, yeah, definitely, it's worth it. And, again, if you get into Kickstarter, I'm sure you like it, you get issue number 1 bundled in with it. So you can have 1 and 2 and read them back to back. And then read them again. So, well, Matt, totally appreciate you coming on here. Like I said, I'm looking forward to this. And I've been telling my comic book shop ever since I heard you were picked up by Behemoth. And I just can't wait for more of your stuff to come out. So don't be a stranger. Next time another one comes around, we'll talk to you again. How about that?
That sounds great. And thanks for having me, and thanks for backing me. And I do want to make sure and say, like, thanks to you, thanks to the listeners, everybody who backed me, not just trying to gush or anything, but really, I don't think the success that this book is having, it wouldn't have happened if people hadn't noticed and just thought it was a story worth telling.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. Well, what's some ways that people can get in touch with you and view your stuff? This is your chance. This is your however many minutes you want to spend to pimp yourself out.
Okay. Well, I do have my own website. It's mattshore.net. MattShore.net. Anybody wants to look anything about me up there, past work, books, stuff that I've done, it's all there. You can also reach me on social media. I'm on Twitter at TheMattShore, and I'm also on Instagram at TheShore. And if you're looking for updates about this Kickstarter, rest assured I will be posting frequently on there when everything goes up. And if anybody wants to just reach me directly for whatever reason, feel free to shoot me an email. It's mattshore@hotmail.com.
All right. Well, again, thanks for joining us. And we look forward to issue number 2 and all the way up through issue number 5. And we'll be in touch again, Matt. Thanks again.
Sounds great. Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Gil T. Wilson. As always, stay nerdy. Nerd Up.